We are thrilled that you joined us today. The message you're about to hear is filled with the life-changing power of God's Word. We would love for you to share with us how God has impacted your life through this message. Visit us at riverrochester.com or attend any of our services at the River Church in Brockport, New York. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope that you enjoy today's message.
Cool. Well, I'm real excited to just share a little bit tonight about God's economy. There's scriptures that the Lord really had to kind of teach to my heart that I had to reconcile one with another, because I heard some people teach these scriptures just radically one way, and then I heard other people just teach some of these scriptures just so radically one way, and I knew that there was truth in both of them and that there was a way that they had to be reconciled together. I believe wholeheartedly that God desires His children to be prosperous, and if you want to be prosperous, just go ahead and give me a wave. I do. I know I do. So now the question is like, okay, what's God's way of becoming prosperous? And that was really a quest that I've been on and I am on and I started. And I have to say that if there's one area where I feel the strongest in the Word of God and in seeing God come through miraculously for me, it's definitely in the area of finances and God's provision, all right? So I'm excited to share this with you guys today and just chat with you. I'll only be probably 15 minutes or so. But I will say this, if your heart is open and if you're hungry and if you're genuinely desiring to see God work in your finances, I promise you that in the next 15 minutes, you're going to get some powerful information that will totally change the way that you guys operate financially. So let's pray quick. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the word that goes forth. I thank you that it never returns void. Your word always accomplishes what it's been sent forth to accomplish, Lord. Even though the heavens and the earth may fade away, the word of God will stand and will last forever. So I thank you that every heart is anointed to receive the seed of the word of God, and that it won't fall by the wayside or fall in the thorny ground or the stony ground, but the hearts here today will receive 30, 60, and 100-fold return, Father God, that they will have more than enough, not only for themselves, but they'll also be able to be a part of every charitable work that you've laid on their heart to be a part of. So I decree and declare that everybody in this room is to condemn to prosperity all the days of their life. In Jesus' name, amen. Awesome. So I'm going to read two different passages here, and you guys are welcome to read along with me if you want to flip through in the Word, but it's going to be a fair bit of Scripture, so if you guys just want to listen, you're welcome to do that as well, too. So I want to read for you guys first 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 11. And I feel pretty privileged. I get to actually preach from this pulpit. So unless you had a message to nobody yesterday, Pastor Jeremiah, I'm glad to christen this puppy. So, all right, so 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 11, I'm reading from the Amplified Version. So, verse 6 says, "Remember this, he who sows sparingly and grudgingly," everybody say sparingly and grudgingly, "will also reap sparingly and grudgingly, and he who sows generously," everybody say generously, "that blessings may come to someone will also reap generously and with blessings." So basically, real simple principle here, you sow a little, you get a little, you sow a lot, you get a lot, okay? And this is specifically talking about finances, because here Paul was talking to the church about the Corinthian church about the offering they gave. So verse 7 says, "Let each one give as he has made up in his own mind and purposed in his heart, not reluctantly or sorrowfully or under compulsion, for God loves and he takes pleasure in and prizes above other things, and is unwilling to abandon or do without a cheerful, joyous, prompt-to-do-it giver whose heart is in his giving." So I'm going to just say this here real quick, is let each person give as he is made up in his own mind and purpose in his heart, and not reluctantly or sorrowfully. So when we come time to take the offering in a few moments, just give as your heart leads you to give. I'm not here to twist anybody's arm. I like what a good pastor friend of mine says. He says, if I have to preach an energetic, crazy message to try to twist people's wallets to get money to drip out of it, then their giving is going to be attached to the quality of the offering message. And if they say, oh, well, that preacher wasn't a very good preacher, they're not going to give a very good offering to the Lord. But when people's offering is directly linked to the Word of God and obedience to the Word of God, it doesn't matter if I just stood up here and told two words about offering and about whatever it is. You're going to give as you have purpose in your heart to give because of the foundation of giving that's in your life. Amen? So keep in mind, this is just to teach you guys today about the truth in God's Word. So, and if you guys are unfamiliar with the Amplified version of the Bible, just keep in mind that when the Bible was written, it was written in three languages. Who knows the three languages? Greek, Aramaic, and Hebrew. So it wasn't written in English, was it? So that means that when we had to translate this into English, that if anyone has ever spoken multiple languages, there's words in some languages that don't just have what's called a lateral translation. You can't just say, oh, this word always means this, right? So when we're translating it, the reason why writers had made the Amplified version is because the original language here was a bit more descriptive than just these single individual words that they moved over to King James, even though King James is, you know, what I consider the best lateral translation of the Word of God. So this is just a little bit more in depth. So here, verse 8, and God is able to make, so basically we're saying here, if you sow a little, you get a little. If you sow a lot, you get a lot. But either way, give up as you give as you've purpose in your heart. Don't do it reluctantly. Be joyful about your giving. That's where we're at so far. And God is able to make all grace. Everybody say all grace. Every favor and earthly blessing come to you in abundance so that you may always and under all circumstances and whatever the need be, self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support, and furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. So that right there zaps this whole idea of poverty is humility. Because we can see right here in the Word that God's desire is that we possess enough to require no aid or support, but we would have abundance. As it is written, the benevolent person scatters abroad. He gives to the poor. His deeds of justice and goodness and kindness and benevolence go on and endure forever. And God, who provides seed for the sower and bread for eating, will also multiply your resources for sowing and increase the fruits of your righteousness. So here we can see that God is, again, likening the sowing of our seed to the a farmer. All right, and then verse 11, it says, thus you'll be enriched in all things. Everybody say all things. In every way, so that you can be generous, and your generosity as it's administered to us will bring forth thanksgiving to God. So that is one camp where they say, man, just give, 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 give. If you just give, man, you can't outgive God. Well, like, yeah, I can appreciate that in the fact that, like, we'll never be able to meet up to God's gift of his son to humanity. So in that sense, no, we won't ever be able to outgive God, because Jesus was the best gift and forever will be the best gift to all mankind. But I can tell you this, I've also given and been in lack, okay? I've given and maybe been in a form of poverty. I've given radically, like crazy amounts of money when I was making several thousand dollars a week, but then bill time would come around and I might not have enough. Or 8 months later, when my job situation changed, even after I had given thousands of dollars, I'd come and, man, I'd be like, God, I need rent. I need car payment. I need this. And I'd been 2 months late or 3 months late on my car payment. But then, God, I've given so much, so how am I here? So I've clearly outgiven God in this aspect. Or maybe I can say it this way, I've given myself out of God's will, okay? And that happens so much, is people just say they want to give these offering messages where you just give so radically, give all that you have, and you know what? I know today's the 4th of June, and you might not have your mortgage paid for last month, but if you give all that you have, watch God come through for you. I don't believe that's the full counsel of the Word of God, amen? So that's one side of it. Now I'm going to read another scripture for you, and then I'm going to reconcile the two together and give you guys an opportunity to give. And again, I hope you guys don't mind the Word of God, because I want to read this parable to you guys right now. So Matthew 25, 14 through 30, and this is the New Living Translation. It's just a little bit easier to read big bunches of scriptures in the NLT. So again, in the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. He then left on his trip. So this is pretty neat. If you want to be able to increase the amount God gives you, increase your abilities. I'm going to say that again. If you want to increase what God gives you, increase your abilities. Because it says right here that this master was dividing the proportion according to their abilities. So then he left on his trip. The servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest. Everybody say invest. And he earned 5 more. The servant with 2 bags of silver also went to work. Everybody say work. And he earned 2 more. But the servant who received 1 bag of silver dug a hole. Everybody say a hole. in the ground and he hid his master's money. After a long time, their master returned from his trip, called them to give an account of how they'd used the money. And the servant to whom he had entrusted the 5 bags of silvers came forward and said, "Hey, yo, I got 5 more, and that's great." The master was full of praise. He said, "Well done, the good and faithful." Okay, didn't really say that in this translation. I just said it that way to kind of shorten it. "So you have been faithful in handling the small amount, so now I'll give you more responsibilities. Let's celebrate." Celebrate. Okay, so the servant who had received the 2 bags of silver came forward and said, "Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 2 more. Everybody say 2 more. The master said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling the small amount, so now I will give you more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." So here it is. Guy's on the long trip, gives 5, 2, and 1. The guy who was given 5 multiplied it. God had 5, got 5 more, got praised. The man with 2 got 2 more, received praise. Okay, now let's go to the guy with 1, okay? Then the servant with the 1 bag of silver came and said, "Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here is your money back." But the master replied, "You wicked and lazy servant, if you knew I harvested crops and I didn't plant or gather and I didn't cultivate, why did you not at least deposit my money in the bank so that way it could at least have gotten some interest?" Then he ordered, "Take the money from his servants and give it to the man with 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they..." I'm going to say this kind of pointedly. "To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have in abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away." Now that's pretty raw. "Now throw this useless servant into outer darkness where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth." So then you have this other camp over here that's just financial management and financial stewardship without the supernatural increase of God's giving. So now we have to come to the place of being able to marry these two biblical doctrines together. Where can we meet in the middle? Where we can be good stewards, but we can also experience the abundance of God. Amen? Who here has never heard this taught like this before? Perfect. I'm glad one of you guys has. Awesome. So the Lord really dealt with my heart on how to do this because it was very clear that God wanted us to be good financial stewards, but it was also very clear that God would provide our seed to sow and multiply what we did give. So now I wanted to get to this place and am at this place and am continuing to grow in this place where we can be able to do both. So how do you do both? So first off, and I'm not going to go deep into this, but the tithe is the initial place of stewardship. And I can joyfully talk about this because this isn't my church. So when you tithe every single week, this is how much of it goes to me, all right? So you can see how persuaded I am by outside sources to teach you guys to tithe. My benefit is your benefit. My benefit is seeing the rest of the family of God prosper. So you can go to Malachi 3:10 and you can, you know, study the tithe. The tithe happened before the law when Abraham, right? Before the law ever came down to Moses, the Bible says that Abraham took a tithe and he tithed it to Melchizedek. So when people say, "Oh man, the tithe is just part of the law," actually it was before the law ever existed. So that's totally debunked. So you take your tithe. What does the tithe do for you? It rebukes the devourer, okay? So you ever feel like stuff just keeps breaking, you can't seem to catch a break? Well, the second you start to tithe, God will rebuke the devourer for your stake. And it also says that it opens up the windows of blessings. It also says that there will be meat in my house, so you'll come here. So like the preaching of the gospel doesn't take anything, but if this building weren't here and we were out on a field right now and it's raining, probably nobody would show up today to hear the word of God, okay? So that's why there'll be meat in the house, because it helps bring coverage, it helps pay for things. And then it also says that fruit won't fall off the vine before its time. So if you've ever felt like, "Man, I missed God. God had an opportunity of prosperity for me. God had this place and I just missed God." Well, if you're a tither, the Bible says in Malachi 3 is that God will actually preserve your harvest for you. So even though it should have fallen off because you missed God, because you're a tither, God will preserve that fruit for you until your time. Amen. That brought so much, man, because I've missed God before, we'll say that. So now on top of this, you're looking at your seed. So your tithe is 10%. Everybody say 10%. So you take 10% of your income and that's your tithe. That's your service to God. Just doing that would almost be like the man who had had the one talent and gave it back to the man. I mean, that the Bible says was his reasonable service. So that, boom, that's your 10%. Now, your seed is above that 10%, you sowing that. Now, that's where you can just choose to be generous with God. And what I encourage people to do is to pick a percentage of your income above the 10% and just declare that to be your seed. And this really makes a lot of sense in this area where we're at right now because there's a lot of farms around here. So you have a lot of farms, a lot of trees, everything like that right now. Who here has ever farmed anything? Okay, I know Abba has, Jeremiah. Anyone else has? Anybody else farm? Okay. What do you guys farm? Apples? You farm a lot of stuff. You guys have berries and stuff like that. So whenever you farm, and I know this is more of like a teaching than like a rah-rah preaching, but I'd rather have you guys like get this, you know, principle in your heart. Is that a farmer, when it comes to harvest time, they have two options. They can let their fruit go to seed, or they can pick the harvest to be able to eat the harvest and to be able to sell it or whatever it is. Now, when it goes to seed, what that means is they're actually allowing some of the fruit to stay on the vine, so that way when it comes time to plant, there's seed there for them to plant. So you have to look at your finances and you can say, okay, boom, here's my tithe. I have 90% left. Taking a percentage of that, whether it's 2%, 5%, 7%, another 10%, 15, 20, whatever the Lord puts on your heart, allowing that to go to seed where you can now plant that seed in the ground to be able to believe God for a bigger harvest. You don't actually step into the realm of sowing seed until you get beyond the tithe. I'm going to say that again, is that you don't get to the point of sowing seed until you get beyond the tithe. So the tithe is like the baseline of where we're at. So now your seed is everything above and beyond that. And now the journey with the Holy Spirit becomes as obeying the Lord, because I used to be like, seed, no problem, seed, I'm going to give all I got. Lord, this is a crazy service. I feel the presence of God. That's it. I'm emptying my bank account and I'd give whatever it was. You know, I was 19, 20 years old, so sometimes it was just a few $100s, you know. It's not like there was tens of thousands in the bank at the time, but sometimes it was a few $1,000s, and I'd be like, God, I'm giving it all to you. You're so awesome. And then like 6 months later, I'd be like, God, I need you to show up in my finances, Lord, help me, you know. And it's like, well, Troy, if you had just maybe been generous, give another 10 or 15 or 20%, and then had I maybe saved another percentage of it like farmers do, right? They've got silos where they actually store it up for a later use, okay? Farmers just don't sell everything they have and keep a little bit of seed. No, they have a silo, or they have a place where they store some of it, you know? I saw Miss Regina's cabinet. She has a whole bunch of jam, so if she ever didn't have a harvest 1 year, she'd have jam probably for another 12 or 15 months. It's a great idea. I think it's wonderful. So you get to this place now where you're storing up some seed for you to be able to sow, and you watch that now you operate in the 2 Corinthians 9 where it says God will multiply your resources for sowing. And you get to this place where, you know, if you were making $40,000 and you were faithful with your tithe and you're faithful with your seed, now you'll start to see that God will give you new opportunity, everybody say, to work and to invest. Because that's what we read in the beginning, right? It's not just sitting on the couch praying for God to just, you know, give you millions of dollars, but God will give you opportunity to work and invest to be able to increase the amount that you have. And the Bible says that God has given you the power to create wealth. It doesn't say that God will just send checks in the mail out of nowhere. It says that God has given you the power to create wealth. And when you start to operate in this power, when you start to operate in the sowing of seed, God sees that you're faithful with a little that you have. So he'll start to give you the greater increase of power and anointing to be able to create wealth. So you'll start to move from this realm of giving $5,000 a year to $6,000 to $10,000 to $15,000 to $20,000. And we're getting to a point now where what we're able to give is more than what I used to make 10 years ago, okay? Is we're getting to a place where now what our seed is a place that can support a whole nother family, that we have more than enough for ourselves and we're able to give back to charitable works that we believe that God is giving us in. And that's why I don't want to teach you just some rah-rah thing. Man, that was a great message. Let me just give a massive offering right now. What I want to provoke you to do in your spirit is to get alone with God and intimacy with God, to get with God and look at your finances, you know? I mean, we're talking about we're ambassadors of Christ. The Bible says that we're here as ambassadors of Christ. So when you're an ambassador, that means you're backed up from the country that you come from the land that you come from. We're not citizens of heaven. We're not citizens of earth. We're citizens of heaven. So now if we're citizens of heaven, let's sit down with our king. Let's lay out our finances before our king. And let's say, all right, king, what do you want to do with your finances? How do you want to do this? This is what I did with it for the last however many years. What do you want to do with it now from this point forward? And when you get real with God like that, when you get God involved on a personal level with your finances, he'll speak to you. He'll take you to new realms of faith, and you'll watch over 3 months, 6 months, 15 months, 24 months, God will breathe on your finances. And now it'll be like, okay, God will increase what you're able to live off of. He'll give you more bread to eat, but then he'll also provoke your heart and say, my son, my daughter, why don't you increase your seed a little bit too? Why don't you take it from 5% to 8% or from 8% to 10%? And you'll see, you'll start to step into new realms of financial blessing with God. So wherever you're at today, honor God with your tithe, and then go home, pray about this today, even find out whatever the Lord would have you give as a special offering today, obey the Holy Spirit, and beyond that, get with God, look at your finances with God, and see what he would have you do, amen? Everybody that's blessed, say, I am blessed.
Thanks for listening to this message from the River Church. We hope you stay connected with us online at riverrochester.com.